God forbid if you or I should be catastrophically injured in an auto accident, and let's say we bought that unlimited coverage policy and we need home health care, will we get it? Will we be able to find someone to provide it based on what the money that they will pay for that, the reimbursements? We know reimbursements were cut 45% under the 2018 auto insurance reform, and that drove thousands of patients off the rolls of those who could receive home health care treatment, and it also closed down a bunch of workers and the businesses. Representative Julie Rogers is a Democrat of Kalamazoo, also a physical therapist by profession, and we asked her on today to talk about the prospects for fixing this in the new legislative year. Representative Rogers, good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for having me, Guy. Yes, as you pointed out, I actually still continue to practice a couple days a month at my local hospital, and this continues to be a major issue for patients.
So we thought that this was fixed in the Court of Appeals, right? That they said if someone bought one of these policies and this was the level of care that they were told they were going to have, you have to cover it. So why do we still need some kind of legislative fix?
Well, the biggest part, there's several parts, but the biggest lion's share of that court case was about retroactivity. And so this kind of applied and underscored that if you were injured in a crash prior to the 2019 law, that it could not be applied retroactively. So the issue is if you or I were in an accident today, those changes that went into effect July 1st of last year still do apply. So, for example, the 56-hour cap on attendant care if you need a home health aide, or the 45% fee schedule cut for providers, what providers can charge. All those provisions of that 2019 law are prospective, meaning anyone injured after July 1st of last year are affected. And so that still needs fixing, and I am ready to roll up my sleeves and go to work again, just as I have been for the last 2 years.
So we've seen a lot of wish lists from folks in your party. You've been out of power in the Senate for almost 40 years now. Where should this be on the list of priorities?
Well, in my opinion, and I'm one of 110, but in my opinion, this is a matter of life and death for some folks. Auto no-fault issues really rise to the top in my mind, and it does currently have quite a bit of bipartisan support in the current legislature. It's just that leadership chose not to allow committee hearings on it, for example. So I am hopeful that in the next term, there will continue to be that bipartisan support to have some very specific fixes for the changes that were made.
Well, because we've heard about codifying abortion rights, rescinding the 31 law, getting rid of right to work, things like that. Certainly important agenda items for Democrats, and I understand that. But boy, this is a much more impactful thing to start with, wouldn't you think?
Well, I'm not going to get in the argument of which is more or not impactful, but as I said before, I do believe it is an issue of life and death, and it really could have some major changes and some positive outcomes for folks. For example, like I mentioned, that 56-hour rule, it doesn't make any sense if your physician is ordering 24/7 home health aid and 24/7 assistance because, for example, you're in a wheelchair and can't turn yourself or can't transfer yourself or can't toilet yourself. You need 24/7 care. Not everyone has the luxury of having a family member that has the means to take care of you all those hours.
So the number that I saw was that we've had 6,800 crash patients discharged from care because it could no longer be provided under the current fee schedule. Have some of those people come back since the court ruling? Are they getting the care that they need now?
My office has heard some positive stories since that case, and I am also hearing from providers that they are starting to get the payments that are due to them. So I am hopeful. On the sad end of it, though, it's too late for some businesses. We've had over 4,000 healthcare workers lose their jobs in Michigan. So to me, that still underscores the urgency and why we need to work on these issues.
I guess what I don't understand is, my family and I'm sure others, and I think I've got a listener on the line that said, look, we still want that unlimited coverage. Well, where's the unlimited if the reimbursements are going to be cut 45%? Because I'm still not going to get the care I need, right?
That's right. You may have you may be sold an unlimited policy, but there could conceivably be a time in the near future where there aren't providers left to take care of you.
So how do we do this? How do you fix it in the new legislative year without trading off all of the savings that we got? I saw considerable savings in premiums the first 2 years. And while I certainly want this fixed in case, Lord forbid, I should need it, I also like the savings, too. Can we balance those two things?
I think we can. And I would argue that many of the numbers and stats coming out, the national stats comparing Michigan to other states, were actually only moving the needle a little bit. We were touted as number one in the country for highest rates, and we've only gone down to number two. So I would argue there's still plenty of room for additional reforms to save rates. The other thing that really hasn't gone anywhere is Detroiters. So if you live in Detroit, you mm-hmm. still have that, you know, they promoted getting rid of zip codes, but then they're kind of playing a shell game and having territory rates still be used. So to me, it's unfair and inequitable for Detroiters to still bear the lion's share of some of these costs when you compare it to, say, you know, Kent County or other places around the state.
For those that have pushed back on this notion that we need a fix, they point to the fact that the 45% cut in reimbursements, this new fee schedule, is still well above the reimbursement that you would get, for instance, under Medicare or Medicaid, and that it isn't that draconian. It's just something that we need to adjust to. What would you say to them? Because, again, it's still above what Medicare would have.
That's a great question. As a provider, I will say, for one thing, it's not comparing apples to apples. So when you have a brain injury, a spinal cord injury, multiple fractures, you know, it's a very complicated medical case for many of these crash survivors. And it's very different to compare someone with a simple ankle sprain, say, to somebody with multiple catastrophic injuries from a car crash. So that's one thing, is the intensity and the medical factors are much more significant in many of the cases. So they're going to be often more expensive. The other thing I will say is that the whole healthcare system is a house of cards. So we've got Medicaid that doesn't pay as much. You've got Medicare that's kind of the middle of the road.
Right.
And then you had work comp and auto no fault at a higher rate. And so all of these things are interrelated. And when you pull the string on one, you pull the string on everything. And so to me, it's not that one was overcharging, if you will, or undercharging. It's that we really need to have a conversation about the entire system in Michigan.
Well, and finding, as you pointed out, new ways to save other than just cutting reimbursements, that there are still, and you know, we still have the different charges for the same service between an accident victim and someone that falls down the stairs. And those, I'm not sure that those inequities were addressed in auto no fault. We wish you well as you try to pull on these different threads and hope that that the whole thing doesn't unravel, because it is, as you pointed out, Julie Rogers, a delicate balance. Let's continue those conversations in the new year, shall we?
Sounds good. And like I said, there's great bipartisan support, so I'm confident we'll be able to advance something.
Yeah, well, we've heard the stories of those that have been without care, and they are heartbreaking. Thanks again.